That was Too Many People by Paul McCartney. And tonight we want to flag an issue that has been described by our next guest as urgent and important. It is the issue of over-tourism, and it is already affecting a number of destinations around the world. Some of them are wishing tourists would stay away. Some even paint graffiti on walls suggesting tourists go home. It is an issue in Barcelona and Paris, and even closer to home in Queenstown, New Zealand. To find out more about over-tourism and what can be done about it, Graham Kemlow speaks to travel industry consultant Suzanne Kavanagh.
Well, I'd like to welcome back to Travel Writers Radio someone we've spoken to before. She's a travel industry consultant and a thought leader, Suzanne Kavanagh of Creative Planet Media. Suzanne, how are you?
Great, Graham. Great to speak with you again.
Yes, it is. Now, every now and again, an issue arises in the industry that causes people to stand up and want to be counted. You're one of them on this issue of over-tourism. I guess the first question is, what the heck is it?
Well, it's actually a very hot topic at the moment. Basically, what we're seeing is a absolutely phenomenal growth in mass tourism. And as a sort of result of that, a lot of the really popular destinations are losing their authenticity, and it's causing a lot of problems with the local communities in these destinations.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing some very interesting behaviour on the ground.
Right. Now, when you say losing their authenticity, I don't suppose the destination changes, but are you saying that there's not enough of it to go around to all the visitors?
No. Actually, the destination in many instances is changing, because if you take a very classic example in Venice at the moment, and certainly Venice and Barcelona are a couple of the particular hotspots, the local people really do feel they're losing their authenticity, because with the invasion of, and this is the sort of terms that they're using, invasion, swamping, etc., the invasion of tourists into, let's face it, a fairly small area in Venice, the local people feel that they can't go about their life, their business in a normal way. And it's having repercussions on, for instance, the artisans who live and work in those little alleyways in Venice. And, you know, shops are closing, etc. So, in a sense, the reason people go to Venice, what they imagine the destination offers them, in fact, is gradually changing.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Now, there was a document published the other day, I noticed, that had a list of the under-touristed and the over-touristed places. I don't know if you've seen this, but the top 10 countries for over-tourism were Croatia, Iceland, Hungary, Denmark, France, Czech Republic, Singapore, Cyprus, Greece, and Spain, as you've mentioned. And they talk about percentage figures, and some of these are over-touristed. Like Croatia's 1,380% over-touristed, in the sense that they have 57 million tourists but only 4 million locals. That's got to be a problem.
That's actually really fairly typical of what we're talking about here.
Right.
You know, a stat that I had was for Barcelona, one of the ones that I mentioned in particular.
Yep.
That appears to be suffering. In their instance, their population is around 1.6 million residents. I think that was about 2016, these figures.
Yeah.
And in that same year, they had 32 million visitors.
Wow. Well,
You know, that's the sort of order we're talking about. So we're not talking about a small amount of aggravation. We're talking about a major disruption to their lifestyle.
Now, was it Spain that started to have graffiti appear on the walls telling tourists to go home?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, in fact, it's been in a couple of places, but Spain, Barcelona, Madrid, you know, the people there are really very, very, very upset about what is happening.
Right. And, I mean, I suppose it There's no point not going to Barcelona or Madrid. If you want to go to Spain, they are some key cities to see. But what's the suggestion? Is it that, you know, you don't come at all, or you go to other parts of the country? What are the people with the answers saying?
No, look, I mean, tourism is really important for those cities. I mean, you know, there are many of these very popular places where, you know, tourism is actually their key industry. So yeah, the last thing they want is that tourists stop going, because their economies would falter. But what they're really asking for is better management.
Right.
And in a sense, that's really where things have come unstuck, because I think all of us have been responsible insofar as the tourism industry has been, you know, looking at actually promoting these destinations through their destination marketing organisations. But their focuses have been on numbers as opposed to looking at the actual management.
Right.
So now the emphasis is on moving from destination marketing to destination management, which, you know, is marketing plus management on the ground. So no, they want people to continue, but to visit, but they want a number of different measures to be implemented, so that you know, locals can go about their business and they can develop the local economy. Because one of the major issues is that when people are visiting in some of these cities, the local community are not actually benefiting economically either. So, you know, they're being disrupted. They're being, you know, in terms of going about their day-to-day business. They feel that they're in a, you know, a bit of a bubble, if you want, in terms of how they're seen. I think we often hear the term now, the Disneyfication of these locations. So it seems like they're theme parks.
Yeah.
And the other insult to injury is the fact that they're not often benefiting economically anyhow in terms of the local communities, because it's the larger companies, the travel intermediaries, etc., who have made the money, not the local communities.
Yeah.
So they just really want some management on the ground. And in fact, some of these cities now are implementing a range of techniques, if you want, and regulations for controlling the numbers, you know, the visitation, etc.
Right.
I think there's some sensible measures coming through.
Okay. I can understand how you might control business tourism, you know, the business events side of it that we mm-hmm. talk about and I write about. But is leisure tourism able to be controlled unless you maybe stop airlines from flying perhaps to their full schedule?
There are some measures that are being tested at the moment in some of these locations. For instance, one of the major problems has been as a result of the cruise ship's arrival. So you can imagine a place like Venice in particular with, you know, a cruise ship.
Dumps 5,000 people there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. and that's what's happening. It's not a matter of, you know, a few people coming through at any one time. We're talking about, you know, the local people being swamped, of course. So what they're doing in that instance is to ensure that the cruise ships are not going right into the ports, into Venice. So they have to actually berth out from some of these areas.
Yeah.
And secondly, they're trying then to have a quota, if you want,
right,
for the number of tourists that are accepted into a location at a particular time. Now, you know, that's no different to, you know, visiting a museum. I mean, today, in the old days, you open the doors and then everybody just sort of, you know, rolled in.
Yeah.
Now, you often find in well-managed museums that there are a certain number of people coming through at a certain time so that you can actually get to see things. So they're capping, you know, visitation in some areas. They're setting up sort of crowd counters, so the number, you know, high traffic areas.
Yeah.
In some instances, they're trialing some new technology, radio frequency technology, so that if there are too many people in an area, you can get a message through to your phone, letting you know. And so, you know, then you might not visit at that particular time. You might visit later in the day or, you know, the next day, etc. They're talking about, in some instances, they're talking about a tourist tax. So, look, there's really a range of measures. And I think what we have to do is watch what happens, particularly now that we're just about to head into the northern European
summer.
And see how some of these measures go. Because it's really in everybody's interest to make it a success. Because even the visitors themselves, the tourists themselves, complaining and saying, you know, they're disappointed by their experience because they're standing in, you know, enormous queues and, and whatever. You can imagine what it's like.
Yeah. Look, it's a fascinating subject. I'd really like to be able to dig a little bit deeper into it if we could. But we might have to save that in-depth analysis for another time, Suzanne. We've actually run out of time. It's great talking to you on the show today, and I think you've certainly raised a lot of questions, provided some answers, and I guess it'll be up to those of us who do love to travel to decide whether where we're going is a responsible place for us to be.
That was Suzanne Kavanagh of Creative Planet speaking with Graham Kemlow on overtourism.
And we're actually going to pick this up again next week with Suzanne and talk about the issues close to home. Certainly Queenstown, New Zealand is an area that is suffering from the Lord of the Rings effect.
Oh, of course.
A whole lot of people over there, you know, just because they can.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's the adrenaline capital of the known universe. So that's one place. The mayor of we might try and get him on the line, the mayor of Queenstown. He hasn't made himself the most popular person in town with his comments about over-tourism.
Because a lot of people want to make money.
Oh, absolutely. And any time they're making money and you try to slide the rug from under them, that isn't going to go down well. But it's he's foretelling the future. You know, if it becomes so busy over there that the locals start to react, then that's going to turn the visitors off. So, you know, this is an issue that could well affect Australia. We've already seen Uluru shut down the climbing of the rock. Now, that's for cultural reasons, but probably just as well because, you know, too much of that going on and it's going to remove and reduce, maybe remove, the authenticity of the experience. So,
yeah.
You know, I think Melbourne's probably a little bit lucky in that we aren't...
We don't have a bridge and we don't have an opera house.
And it's a long way from the other part of the world. You can't swim here.
Yeah.
You've got to turn up in a boat, and that takes a long time to get from the Heads even up to Station Pier. So anyway, we'll see. It's just one of those interesting scenarios.
No, I'm glad actually that I did a lot of travelling when I was backpacking in my youth because then travel... Cities weren't as busy.
No.
You really could get around. You could actually drive into the city. I mean, now you have to go and stop outside a lot of cities and go in by bus.
Yeah. That's pretty tough, that backpacking you had to do in New York.
Oh, well, that was a little bit. I'm a bit older now and I couldn't go. I couldn't stay in a two-man tent anymore.
You couldn't?
I could, but I don't want to.
What a shame. Well, listen, why don't we just give you a little taste of where you've spent a wonderful month it must be. Is it 2 months? I just can't remember. It's so long ago.
It was wonderful.
Right. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.